Programs like Social Security and Medicare are called safety nets, which were developed in order to ensure people would be cared for and would have a financial nest egg for their later years. There's a long-growing challenge to those plans, their deficit, which has not been responded to, but instead has actually been dismissed by some who are in a decision-making seat. Next guest recently wrote about this for National Review in a cover story entitled "The Entitlement Crisis Ignored." He's a senior fellow and economist with the Manhattan Institute, Brian Riedel. Thanks for being here today, Brian.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
And we've, of course, direct linked to Brian's article. You can also visit nationalreview.com and read more about Brian's work and the other journalists there, and to check out the work of the Manhattan Institute and the issues he put a focus on, manhattan-institute.org. Now, when we say entitlement crisis, how big of a crisis, dollar and cents, are we talking about when it comes to Social Security and Medicare?
The numbers are staggering. Right now, the national debt is $20 trillion, which is enormous. It's too big to comprehend. But in the next 30 years, Social Security and Medicare are going to run a shortfall of $82 trillion. That number is so big, you can't even imagine it. But what I can say is that it's large enough that paying for it would require doubling every family's taxes in America or eliminating nearly every remaining federal program. Not just tax hikes for the rich or defense cuts, but you'd have to double taxes for everybody or get rid of every federal program just to pay out all the promised benefits for Social Security and Medicare over the next 30 years.
Yeah, certainly, when you look at the mechanics of the program, I mean, its origin was you pay in when you retire, you take out what you put in. And we come to the point now where we're approaching almost a three people now paying for everyone retiree, and that's going to go down to 2-to-1 sooner versus later.
Exactly. You know, Social Security and Medicare were much more affordable when you had five workers paying the taxes of each retiree back in the 60s. As you mentioned, it's 3-to-1 today, and in about 12 years, it'll be 2-to-1. So that means that, think of a family starting out in 12 years, they're going to have to support themselves, their children, and the Social Security and Medicare benefits of their very own retiree. So imagine like a new couple starting out with, you know, they want to get married, they want to buy a house, they have kids, they want to have daycare. They have their own retiree that they have to completely fund the pension and health for. It's going to be an enormous and likely unaffordable burden.
Now, over time, I mean, I can go back to, I remember Ronald Reagan used to talk about reform being necessary, but I think back when Social Security was first formed, I forget whether it was FDR or one of his economists basically said, well, this will be good and structured till around the mid-1960s, and someone's going to have to do something about this, and that fell on deaf ears. But you had Reagan, you had Newt Gingrich, you've had Mitt Romney, you've had the A-listers in D.C. say, we got a problem we need to do something about. It wasn't like, you know, some C-list backwoods House representative pointing a finger at this, yet it seems to have fallen all on deaf ears.
Yeah, you know, this has been called the most predictable economic crisis in history. We've known this problem is coming for 20 or 30 years, and there have been times, Newt Gingrich, you mentioned, Paul Ryan has been talking about this for 15 years. The reason it never gets reformed is because the politics are terrible. When Paul Ryan said that we need to fix Social Security and Medicare so that they don't go bankrupt, the other side ran a TV ad that portrayed him murdering a senior citizen.
Oh, yeah, pushing grandma off the cliff.
Exactly. So, you know, the problem right now is neither party is really willing to do this by themselves. And when one party tries, it becomes a war. And when you're going to be accused of killing senior citizens, nothing's going to happen.
Well, it seems, too, that the politics of the nature, the voter has lost interest, or is that just through the silence? Is it through the silence or through the ignorance?
Yeah, voters aren't focused on this. You know, when I talk to people and I mention Social Security and Medicare are going bankrupt, there's a lot of denial. There's a lot of, well, if we hadn't raided the Social Security Trust Fund, it would be fine. Well, even if we hadn't raided the Social Security Trust Fund, the long-term deficit would be $79 trillion instead of $82 trillion. I also hear a lot of people who say, you know, I'm just getting back what I paid in, which is actually not true. People get a lot more than what they paid in. And I also hear a lot of the easy solutions. Oh, you know, if we only raise taxes on the rich, if we only cut defense spending, if we only get rid of foreign aid, none of those are within miles of sufficient. So I think there's a lot of denial about how bad the problem is.
I've said to people before, we started getting those paper statements in the mail from Social Security saying, here's your expected benefits if you try a 62, 65, 68, whatever the case may be. And then it became an all-electronic system. I've been telling people, well, they had to do that. Otherwise, the Social Security Department would be arrested for mail fraud.
Yeah, you know, I think it's dangerous at this point to assume that you're going to get all of your benefits, especially if you're, you know, under age 60. I don't want to scare people into thinking that they're going to be savagely demolished, but I think there might be at least a modest trim in the projected benefits. And the younger you are, I think the larger the cut in benefits will be. If you're 65 or older, I think you will likely get almost everything you've been promised. If you're a little younger than that, you got to shave a few percentage points. And like I said, if you're in your 30s and 40s, I would stuff that 401k like a turkey if I were you.
Talking with Brian Riedel, his cover story for the National Review, The Entitlement Crisis Ignored. He's also a senior fellow and economist with the Manhattan Institute, nationalreview.com, manhattan-institute.org, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. What was it that really pulled the plug on Medicare? I mean, we know Medicaid and the expansion through Obamacare has brought that to hitting the wall like a Danica Patrick race at NASCAR, but
Medicare is a much bigger problem than Social Security. Medicare's long-term debt is 2 to 3 times larger than Social Security. And that's because while they both have the same demographic problems, Medicare also has the problem of rising health inflation, which means paying the same benefits to the same amount of people gets increasingly expensive every year because healthcare costs are rising. So right now, the typical couple that retires today will have paid $140,000 over their lifetime into Medicare and will get $420,000 in benefits back. Both numbers are adjusted for current net present value. You can't have a system where everybody's getting back triple what they paid in. And, you know, you asked, when did it get worse? One of the things we can point to, Medicare has always been heading for a cliff, but in 2003, we added a prescription drug benefit to Medicare without actually raising any of the contributions families must pay into the system through any payroll taxes. So you just added a long-term $8 trillion benefit and put it on the national credit card. So Medicare is even more daunting than Social Security at this point.
Now, we have those in those seats of decision down in D.C. who basically are thinking autopilot will be the solution. The economy and economic growth is going to solve the problem. We have the low interest rates maintained. That's going to keep that affordable. That's all the abstract. That's not concrete.
Yeah, this is part of the denial I think a lot of politicians are in. You know, those who don't say tax hikes on the rich or defense cuts can solve it, some say economic growth can solve it. The problem with economic growth solving it is, if the economy grows and incomes rise, yes, people will pay higher taxes into the system. However, your benefits are higher with economic growth because benefits are based on income. And so if the economy grows faster, you earn more income over your life, you get bigger benefits when you retire. So economic growth will lead to more revenue coming into the system now, but it also leads to higher benefits later. You really don't get much better. And so unfortunately, we all want economic growth, that it can help marginally, but it will also increase the cost to the system. It's not a panacea.
When you look at, the concrete, there are going to be more and more people retiring, more and more people becoming eligible for Medicare. How can the idea of raising eligibility age, and if you're already sitting on a seven-figure nest egg, why should you even be dipping your toe into these systems?
Yeah, I think you're hitting on the direction that ultimately we may go. You know, for Medicare, for instance, your payroll taxes only pre-fund one part of Medicare, the hospital insurance. The physicians and Medicare drugs, you don't pay into that. That's not social insurance. That's just a government handout when you retire. When you retire, you pay a premium that covers 25%. The taxpayers pay 75%. And again, that's not pre-funded with payroll taxes. That's not social insurance. So the question becomes, if you're really wealthy in retirement, why are the taxpayers paying 75% of those benefits? it's really hard to justify, you know, doubling tax rates on middle-class families so that, you know, millionaires can have 75% of their benefits subsidized by the taxpayers. And even on Social Security, you know, again, people get back a lot more than what they paid in. That may make sense for the low-income individuals, but should Bill Gates be coming out way ahead in Social Security? It's really hard to justify given the financial realities of the program.
This is an issue or a collection of issues that have fallen to the wayside that fortunately Brian has put a much-needed light on through his cover story at National Review, The Entitlement Crisis Ignored. You can read it at nationalreview.com. He's also a senior fellow and economist with the Manhattan Institute. On the web, it's manhattan-institute.org. Brian Riedel, thanks for being here today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.